Glory. Glory. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I hear something. It's working. Praise the Lord. Well, I have a little more supply this morning than I did last week.
It was quality last week.
A year and a half ago, we moved to a new house, and I didn't know that we had moved as many of our Bibles as we did, because we're still moving. The challenge of living in America and you accumulate so much,
land of plenty.
Moving overnight is not a possibility. It takes time. So we moved enough stuff to live there, and then we're still in the process. Hallelujah. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, and I'll begin in verse 6. But let's pray first. Father, we thank you today for your holy written word of which we are about to receive. Father, we believe that this will enable us, empower us, strengthen us, to be all that you have purposed and planned for us to be. I pray for these gathered here, that they can see beyond the personalities and receive from you today, that every need of their life is met, no lack of any kind, whether it's physical, financial, spiritual, whatever it is, every need met. We proclaim that today in Jesus' name. Amen. Philippians chapter 4, I think we received a call possibly or a text from Harold early in the week, so I had a little more time to think about what he would have me to minister on, and this is where I ended up. Philippians 4, 6, and we would like to say we're not affected by what goes on in this world or the news, but we can be. We can be. But it's better to be more affected by His Word. Amen. And so when things happen, sometimes it drives us to the Word. What is next, Lord? So I want to begin in Philippians 4, in verse 6. And she has it up there. Be anxious. What translation is that, actually? Is that the King James?
NKIV.
New King James. Okay. That's fine. That's great. We're going to read it in more than one. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. I'm going to try to do 3 points today, and the first one is going to be something like this. Put away worry, anxiety, or care. Put it away and leave it. I like the way the Living Bible reads in verse 6, Philippians chapter 4. The first phrase is, don't worry about anything. I think I'm a fairly simple person. That's not hard to understand. It can be more challenging to do, though. And sometimes, I've found for me, I don't know about for you, if I'm going to actually do that, there's some people I'm not going to spend a lot of time with. Because they want to keep talking about things that they're worried about, and I don't need that in me.
That's right.
I used this illustration years and years ago. There's a company over by where we are called Waste Management. If they showed up at your house tomorrow and said, just sign here and we have a load to dump in your yard, I don't think anybody here would allow them to do it. But sometimes we let people dump trash in our minds, thinking, maybe I can help them. Well, sometimes you can, but often they've... they're already on a path of I have a guy that helps me do some things sometimes, but I realized a few years ago already, I have to monitor how much I hear. Because a lot of the conversation is about what hurts today.
Right.
He's got physical issues. He's about my age, but he spends enough time talking about his physical issues that I have to distance myself from that. Mm-hmm. Because then he wants to tell me about his other friends that are dealing with this, and then he wants to tell me, you're going to have that. I'm like, no, I'm not going to have that, Jim.
Right.
If you want to have that, that's your business. You don't have to.
Amen.
And the same thing comes along the lines of worry. There are people that are world champion worriers. And they will attempt to enlist you with them. Let's worry together. They don't say it that way. But they tell you what's going on that you and I should be concerned about. I have another friend who has a lot of political interest, and it seems like his life revolves around who's in office and who's not. And I can't have a lot of conversations because there's little faith in God with him. And I want a lot of faith in God.
Amen.
I liked our songs this morning, especially the third one that reminds us of who he is and what he's done for us. So Philippians 4:6, the Living New Testament or Living Bible says, don't worry about anything. Wonder if that means anything. Wonder if that means anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God your needs and don't forget to thank him for his answers. I have a parallel translation. The Amplified Bible reads this way. Do not fret or have any anxiety about anything. Or have any anxiety about anything. But in every circumstance and in everything by prayer and petition, definite request, with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. Really, he's the only one that can help us anyway.
Amen.
Sometimes our focus gets on a personality or an organization, or a company, or a friend, and when they don't help us, we're disappointed. Well, our trust really needs to be in God.
Yeah.
Gentleman that attended our church years ago, at one point, I think he got laid off, and he had gotten his 26 weeks of unemployment, and one Sunday somebody at church said, what are you going to do now? He said, I guess we'll just have to trust in God. And I didn't say anything, but I thought, we should have started there. It shouldn't have taken us 26 weeks to get to that point. So Philippians 4, this is the Apostle Paul writing to the Philippian believers. And he tells them, don't worry about anything. Purpose to not worry. One of the challenges, I believe, in our culture is we have so much information. Actually, I think we have too much information sometimes.
Amen.
Sometimes I call it information overload. That, and some of it's gotten over into the faith circles, that we try to figure things out. How's this going to happen? We want it to happen a certain way. We think we know how it's going to happen. I'll give you a little illustration. This is a long time ago, August of 1985. We were preparing to go to Rhema Bible Training Center, and one of the things that we needed was an automobile, a reliable automobile. We didn't have one at the time. And it had gotten down to a few days before we're going to leave, and I was sure there was a couple of different meetings that I was going to be at or gatherings, and I was confident that somebody was just going to donate us a vehicle. I didn't see any other way. We didn't have the resources, or possibly our church, and the last Sunday we were there, somebody would say, hey, we know you need a car. Well, that didn't happen at the first meeting I was at. Didn't happen at the second meeting I was at. Didn't happen at the church. On Monday morning, I realized we have to have a car today or by tomorrow at the latest. And somehow or another, we have enough money in the checkbook, which probably hadn't happened before, for a long time at least. God still, what am I saying? God still supplied, but it just wasn't the way I thought. I wanted it to be some kind of a spectacular, supernatural thing. And he provided. I believe it was still supernatural. It may not have been very spectacular. You went and got a car. You wrote a check. And so one of the things that taught me and I learned, a lot of times we learn things the harder way. He can provide, but it may not be how I think. Much of our provision today, I mean, we do get Social Security, but much of our provision today is something we didn't plan to do. And today our daughter helps us because it's bigger than I planned for it to be. And when some people ask, what are you doing? We attempt to tell them, and people say, people really do that, buy that? Well, they do. So God will make a way when you don't think there is a way.
Amen.
I appreciate this man's testimony. He got a job in the midst of a time when restaurants in our culture are supposed to be closed or shut down. With God, all things are possible.
Amen.
Not a few things, not some things. All things are possible. All things are possible. So the first point of 3 points today is put away worry, anxiety, and care. Just make a decision to do that. And you may have to do this repeatedly if you've been in a mindset, or if you, some of us grew up in homes where we had at least one or two, one parent out of the two that was a world champion worrier. And they would rehearse things. You might have heard them. I had one that was, and I had another parent that was more of a faith person, and God's able, we're going to do something. We're going to do this. They were both great parents, but when you grow up with some of that, you have to take the word to overcome it because it becomes a part of your heritage. Psalm 55:22, let's look at that verse for a moment. Psalm 55:22. Worry was not just something that people under the new covenant had to learn not to do. Psalm 55:22 in the King James says, cast thy burden upon the Lord. Too many pages turned. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. I don't know what you understand the word shall to mean in the scriptures. I think it was Mark Hankins that explained it this way. He said, when the Bible says shall, it means one thing. It has to happen.
Yes.
It will happen.
Yes.
So if I will do my part, God will do his part.
Amen.
Hallelujah. If I will do my part, he will do his part.
Yes.
Cast thy burden, or some people would say care or anxiety, upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Dr. Hagen, Kenneth E. Hagen, rehearsed this little story or account one day after a meeting. A lady came to him and said, I need you to pray that God would deliver me from some big burdens that I have. And She said, she further said something like this. She said, I can handle the little ones, but I need help with the big ones. He said, well, I really can't pray that prayer for you. You're not supposed to carry the little ones. So sometimes we sacrifice our own peace or victory because we allow little things that we think, I can handle this. Really? We need God's help for everything. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25. And I'm going to probably read that in a couple different versions. I don't know about you, it helps me sometimes to read it in more than one translation. I have friends that are, I just like the King James only. Well, there's other versions sometimes that help us get a greater light on something. Matthew 6, 25 in the King James says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. That's a novel thought. Take no thought for your life. What you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body. What you shall put on, is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? The Amplified, I believe, helps us a lot here. It says, therefore I tell you, stop being perpetually uneasy, anxious and worried about your life. What you shall eat, or what you shall drink, or about your body, what you shall put on, is not life greater in quality than food, and the body far above and more excellent than clothing? And then he further goes on and talks about, look at the birds. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father keeps feeding them. Are you not worth more than they? And then in the Living Bible, one more version. So my counsel is, don't worry about things. Don't worry about things. Food, drink, money, or clothes, for you already have life and a body, and they are far more important than what to eat and wear. There's times we just have to take a inventory of our life in our words and check ourselves and say, what are you saying about life? Hallelujah. 1 Peter 5:7. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. King James reads this way, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Casting all your care upon him. Amplified Bible reads this way, casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries. Sometimes we cloak worry in different terms. Maybe it becomes a little more socially acceptable then. The Amplified Bible uses this, covers this, all your concerns. Some people sometimes say, well, I'm not worried, I'm just concerned. The Amplified Bible puts it all together. If you're concerned about something and you haven't talked to the Lord about it and trusted him with it, then maybe really it's just some form of worry. All your concerns once and for all on him, for he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. And thirdly, the Living Bible reads this way in 1 Peter 5:7. Let him have all your worries and cares, for he is always thinking about you and watching everything that concerns you. Brother Kenneth Copeland talks about a time when their ministry had over $1 million television debt. And he said he tried to carry that. And he said it was just wearying him down to the point where he was like, something's not right here. And so he went to the Lord about it. He said, I'm sure we're supposed to be on television. You told us to be there. But then he realized, you know, I'm trying to carry something that doesn't belong to me. I guess at one point they were making payments through the month to stay on. I mean, he was like, we're not getting ahead of this thing. And so they did, I think, several things. One of the things they started to do, I believe he was quickened to, we need to be giving to the poor on a greater capacity, greater level. So they began to do that. The second thing he said, and he said this was an incremental thing, I had to learn to do it, to start with on an hourly basis. I refuse to carry that anymore or worry about it or be concerned about it. Not as easy to do as it is to say. But we proved as Americans that we can worry about things consistently. So if it's possible to do that, then it's also possible, if the scripture says do not worry, and if you have to start by every hour saying, I refuse to worry about this. I will not think about it. I will not care about it. I will not worry about it. Lord, I put it over on you. I'm trusting you. Maybe you have to do it every half hour. But there's things that come to all of us, and he doesn't want us to be anxious or worried or concerned. I don't think you're getting that. Come to all of us. It might be the way, you know, we have adult children that have children of their own, and sometimes you see things and you're like, I sure wouldn't be doing it. We don't say anything, but sometimes we're thinking we sure wouldn't be doing it that way. But it's better to not worry about it. Pray for them, not worry about it. If they would come to us and say, we don't know what to do about this, then we would be willing, and, you know, we want to have good relationships with them. We want to have openness. And sometimes you can do a lot more just by praying. So the scripture says, do not worry about anything. Glory to God. This would be a good year to get on that path. Do not worry about anything.
Amen.
We have pretty much cut off any kind of news in our house at all. Even weather, it's kind of sad. Even weather, they want us to worry about. There's times that because some of my work is outside, I would like to know, at what point in the day is it going to be warmest? Somehow or another, I don't like the cold very much. I don't like if it's going to snow or rain. And so I would like to know. But when they tell me, hey, the roads are going to be bad, you be careful. And I'm thinking, folks, we live in Michigan. It's January. We know this. We know this. The second point I have for us today, pray about everything. Pray about everything. If there's a potential that you're going to have a concern about it, just nip it in the bud and pray. Choose to pray. The Message Bible says, instead of worrying, pray. Put our energy into prayer. Worry, if allowed to develop, will generate fear. Fear is unhealthy. Prayer generates peace and faith in God. Hallelujah. Pastor Harold, I'm sure, has taught you well, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. So if we take the word, receive it in, faith builds in us. And then when we operate in it and practice it, it should become stronger in us and will as we do it. It seems like we live in a time where there is a level of fear around us greater than is normal. But it doesn't have to get in us. There can be people in your family that are afraid. It doesn't have to get in you. There can be people in your workplace that are afraid. It doesn't have to get in you. Hallelujah. I think it's an opportunity for us to demonstrate our faith in God. One of my brothers, I think, is at the point of this virus, he initially wasn't, he thought, well, it's not a big deal. But then I noticed soon he was functioning differently, and he was kind of trying to advise me, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do this. And maybe he needed more of the word. I don't know. We didn't have a long discussion about it. So let God be involved in your situation. He can't be unless you ask Him. Amen. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 8, a couple verses there we want to look at. Romans chapter 8, one of my favorite passages of Scripture. Verses 14 through 16. Romans 8. Beginning in verse 14, the King James Version says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." How better to be led by the Spirit than to open yourself up with a conversation? Father, thank you for today. This is what I see on the horizon for today. I ask you to be involved in it. I ask you to help me in my part in it. "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of adoption, of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. He will guide us and lead us in ways of peace if we will be open, if we will listen." Being led will produce peace in us and faith in Him. The story is told of some of Mother Teresa's helpers one day coming to her and saying, "How do you do it? We're weary." Mother Teresa, I'm not very familiar with her organization or what she was doing, but the best I can understand is she was serving the poor and those who in had great needs. And she said something like this to those that were working with her. And we'll try to break it down a little bit after I give you what she said to them. She said, "You need to spend more time at the well." What was she saying? I believe she was saying, you need to spend more time with the Lord, because we're in a work that will stretch us in the natural. I believe we're living at a time when very possibly we're going to be stretched in the natural to the point we're going to have to depend on God more than ever before. Hallelujah. When I read Matthew 24 and some of the things that it says will happen in the last days, and then I go over and read Psalm 91, we haven't seen some of the things happen that it talks about there yet. Some of the prophets have said, we believe some of these things will happen in our time. I like to read after Smith Wigglesworth, and both of, you know, Smith and this other gentleman that I'm going to talk about are both already gone, but Smith lived in England and was I think I might have talked about him a little bit last week. He, under his ministry, 21 people were raised from the dead. But when Dr. Summerall went to visit him, he said, actually, Lester Summerall was not an accomplished evangelist or anything at that point. He was in England studying and believing he was going to do some preaching. But he went to see Smith Wigglesworth, and he said, "I had a newspaper stuck under my arm," and Smith met him at the door, and he said, they greeted each other, and Dr. Summerall, or Lester Summerall, said, "Can I come in?" He said, "Well, You can, but that newspaper cannot come in. I don't allow that. I don't allow untruth in my house. He had high standards. He protected himself. And we may get to the point where we're going to have to protect ourselves at a higher level than ever before to be faith people. We read Romans 8, 14, 15 says in the Living Bible, we should behave like God's very own children, adopted into, calling to Him, Father, Father. The King James says, Abba. Verse 15, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Anybody know what Abba means in the original translation there?
Daddy.
Exactly, Daddy. He wants us to call Him Daddy. One translation says, Abba or Daddy is a term of endearment. Some of us grew up with fathers. I think Pastor Harold and I talked about this one day. Our fathers were more strict and hard, and we didn't often feel that way. But God wants to be Daddy. He's willing to hear all the things that concern us. Pray about everything. Hallelujah. You may be the kind of person who is, you know, you can do things and you don't need a lot of help to do it. Hallelujah. But in actuality, we all need His help every day. We all need His help every day. I mean, in America, we kind of pride ourselves in self-accomplishment. Well, you didn't do it by yourself. I don't care who you are or how far up you went. You had God's help.
Amen.
And it's good for us to consistently acknowledge that. The third thing I want to see from Philippians 4, let peace rule in our lives. Number one, don't worry. Number two, pray. Let peace rule. My daughter is quick to remind me of this principle. She will say something like this. What tends to peace? That's a good reminder. What tends to peace? Philippians 4, 7. Let's see. Get back over there. Philippians 4, 7 says, in the Living Bible says, if you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more powerful than the human mind can understand. His peace will keep your thoughts and your hearts quiet and at rest as you trust in the Christ Jesus. There's a lot of unrest or anxiety in our earth today, but it doesn't have to be in us. We can have peace in the midst of complicated and unusual circumstances and times that we live in. Who would have thought that we would be clear to the first, well, I guess today or tomorrow starts the second week in January, and our country would be uncertain who the president was going to be. A lot of people aren't, but our country basically is uncertain at this point. Verse 8 in Philippians 4. I guess we need to read this in the King James first. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those four words at the end of Philippians 4, 8, I believe, helps us, gives us a guide or a roadmap of what to think about. If we allow other people to decide what we think about, you risk a lot of things. And someone said it this way, and it seemed to stick with me and bear witness with me. They said, something could be true, but it not be lovely. Throw it out. Something could be honest, but it's not just or of a good report. We attempt to be careful at our house what we say about everything. And I would just challenge you in this year, check your words. Is it lovely? Is it beneficial? The Living Bible reads this way in verse 8. And I believe verse 8 is a roadmap to have the peace that it talks about in verse 7. And now, brothers, I close this letter. Let me say this one more thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and good and right. Think about things that are pure and lovely and dwell on the fine good things in others. Think about all you can praise God for and be glad about. So in other words, if someone is consistently bringing bad news, you're probably going to have to cut that off. You're probably going to have to minimize that to the best of your ability if you want peace. Verse 8 in the Amplified Bible says this, "For the rest, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is worthy of reverence and is honorable and seemly, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely and lovable, whatever is kind and winsome and gracious, if there is any virtue and excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think on and weigh and take account of these things. Fix your minds on them." We have to feed on good food. Mentally, emotionally, spiritually, if we're going to be God's people in 2021. The other things going on around us probably can't take in. You know, I grew up in a home where there was a dessert at pretty much every meal. In fact, I didn't know that it was not normal to not have dessert until I started going, you know, away from home. Well, sweet things are tasty, but not always the best for us, especially me. And so I've learned, it's taken a lot of years, but I've learned we might have a little of that, but we're not going to have three of them. Probably, you know, last week was the first full week in 2021. Probably last week you heard some things that were not beneficial. Be careful about those things. And I know we live in a world. You can't go live in a cave somewhere. It's not feasible. But you don't have to dwell on them. You don't have to focus on them. You don't have to. It's one thing to hear it. It's another thing to say, well, I believe that and I'm going to meditate on it. I'm going to focus on it. You don't have to. Glory to God. When you fight a battle for your health, you read things that, if you want to win that battle anyway, you read faith things. And so I found myself reading some writings of Charles Capps. If you're not familiar with him, he was a farmer from England, Arkansas, but he got involved with the faith movement, and I've only heard him speak a few times, but he's got some good things in writing. And he wrote this about how our thoughts affect our health. And he says something like this in the one book that I have a copy of. He cites a study that was done about people who viewed their health as poor, or they saw themselves as being healthy. And he said these people were all in comparable health. So you have a group of people that they thought about, this is what their thought life was, my health is not good. And then you had a group of people that saw themselves as, you know, they were happy about where they were, and they saw themselves as healthy, I'm able to do such and such. I guess you would say, you know, there's, have you heard the term, people, some people see the glass half full, and some people see it half empty? He said those who saw themselves with poor health eventually experienced poor and diminishing health, and some of them even passed away in a period of 5 years. The others got better instead of worse. It's how they saw themselves. How did that happen? Because what we think about affects this. The mind will affect the speech. Dwell on the fine, good things in others. Human nature wants to look at the faults in others. You know, somebody can have all kinds of great characteristics or traits, and sometimes there's just one thing that bothers us about that, about them, and we think about that. That's not the way it's supposed to be. But with God's help, in 2021, we can do Philippians 4, 7 and 8. Glory to God. So very quickly, if you don't remember anything else, put away worry. Choose not to be a participant. Choose not to be a participant. I'm invited to do things sometimes with people, and it's not necessarily that's bad. I just choose not to. Secondly, pray about everything. Thirdly, let peace rule. Choose to have peace in every situation. There's some things that are better for us not to participate in. One of Rebecca's nephews a few years ago got in trouble and couldn't drive, needed to be taken places, and would call on her from time to time. And one night he wanted to ride home from the emergency room, and she went to get him and took him home. And she came home later than what she planned to, and she said, I couldn't get him out of my car. He wanted somebody to talk to. And, you know, you want to help people, but in his situation, he wasn't listening. And so, I don't know if it was a year later, we started getting calls from the county jail. Stephen wants help again. Well, he has to want to help himself before we can help him. He had opportunity to go to a facility to Teen Challenge. And he decided there was somebody that was going to pay his way, but he said, no, I can beat this by myself. Well, so far he hasn't. And it's sad. But I noticed that in the process of Rebecca trying to help him, it was starting to be not a peaceful situation. There was anxiety. So we have to choose our battles, folks. Decide to put away worry. Pray about everything. Let peace rule. Let peace rule. Hallelujah. Father, we just give you thanks today. We thank you that the healing virtue of Jesus is working in Pastor Harold and Sister Debbie, that they'll be strong quickly in Jesus' name. We thank you for this time together. We believe this word will work in us, that new things will happen, even this week, that we will say, thank you, Father, that we will gain new victories this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Sister Audra.